Leviticus 14, actually, before we look again at this text here in Leviticus, I want you to go ahead and hold this place. And I want you to take a look with me in Matthew chapter 8. We're going to go from the Old Testament to the very first book of the New Testament, which is not insignificant. Matthew chapter 8 in your Bibles. And I want you to look with me, if you would, at verse 4. Our Lord Jesus is giving a very interesting command to the leper who had just been healed. Jesus saith unto him, See thou, tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, what I want you to notice in particular in verse 4 are the words of our Lord referring and regarding the law of Moses. He says, Go, show yourself to the priest, and then offer for thy cleansing that which Moses commanded. Now, of course, the question is, what commanded? What commandments did Moses give that applied to this leper and to this healing? And why does Jesus say this? Why does he say at the end of verse 4 that doing this thing, doing the things that Moses commanded, would then be a testimony unto them, that is, unto the authorities, unto the priests? Well, beloved, think for a moment about what actually happened on that glorious day, because the things that Moses commanded concerning lepers are all described in the Old Testament law in this morning's text in Leviticus 13 and 14. And let me just remind you that the things described in Leviticus are very specific and detailed instructions on what to do when a leper is both cleansed and cured. It is an intriguing part of Moses' law that reads really like a medical journal. Chapter 13 alone is 59 verses of diagnosis, quarantine, treatment, and prognosis. Chapter 14, hear this, is another 57 verses of ritual and instruction and commandments, all provided and prescribed just in case, if ever, maybe, a leper is healed and cleansed in Israel. Detailed instructions that involve two birds, cedar wood, hyssop, earthen vessels, running water, putting blood on the right ear, the right hand, and the right foot, getting a ewe lamb that was without blemish and without spot, 3/10 of deals of fine flour, a wave offering, a trespass offering, the log of oil, and it goes on and on and on. It's over 100 verses. It is simply the most elaborate ritual in all the Old Testament law, but there's just one fascinating little detail. And that is that long and detailed text in the Old Testament of two chapters of over 100 verses was never used. Do you think that God knew that before he had him write verse after verse after verse after verse of what to do? That part of the law, as far as these priests were concerned in our text, was a dusty, cobwebbed, unused, likely unfamiliar part of Moses' command. So again, the question is, why? Why is this so significant to our Lord? Why does Jesus want them to turn to that particular part of the Bible? Well, for this reason. Jesus said in Luke 4:27, there were many lepers in Israel in the days of Elisha the prophet, but none of them was cleansed, save or except for Naaman the Syrian. Now, wait a minute. Many lepers, Jewish lepers existed in the days and during the days of the Old Testament law, including, as Jesus said, during the miraculous days of Elisha the prophet. Elisha, beloved, was a healer. And yet, not one of those Hebrew lepers ever had occasion, even in that miracle era, to go to the high priest and initiate the law of Moses concerning his own cleansing. And to emphasize that, the Lord Jesus mentions and reminds them that the only man who ever was healed of leprosy was a Gentile, a Syrian, who wasn't under Moses' law, so that didn't instigate it either. You see, Pastor, what in the world does it mean, and why is there this long, elaborate, detailed ritual in the Old Testament law if it's never, ever going to be utilized by a single high priest for 1,500 years? What was God's purpose? Well, that's what I want us to consider this morning. I want to speak on the subject, good as new. You ever hear the expression growing up, you know, your mom cleans your face or fixes a tear in your shirt or binds a little wound and she says, there you go, good as new, and then she sends you off. And sometimes, of course, you look at the repaired tear on the green shirt that she used purple thread for and you thought, okay, maybe not quite as good as new. In the experience of this leper, the Lord Jesus wanted the leadership, the experts, to see that he really was as good as new. Father, we are grateful for your word, and we need to hear from it. And I pray we will recognize that the Holy Spirit in our midst and holding in our hands your infallible word and the fellowship of the brethren, all of this is by your purpose. And I pray that the message and the text that you have for us and before us today have deep meaning for everyone here. Please speak to every heart in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to do me a favor now and just take a glance, hold your place here in Matthew, and take a glance back in Leviticus chapter 14. And I want you to notice again, we mentioned how long this and detailed this text is. In fact, at the very last verse of chapter 13, which is all about the law of the leper, you see it says verse 59. That's 59 verses, beloved. Look at verse 59 of chapter 13. This is the law of the plague of leprosy in a garment of woolen or linen, either in the warp or woof, or anything of skins to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. That's a lot of verses and a long chapter about what to do about leprosy in the camp. And then in chapter 14, verse 2, it says, this shall be the law of the leper. In the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought unto the priest, not a priest, the high priest, the priest. It goes on in verse 14, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. Do you see how detailed it is? Do you notice it's the next verse, and the next verse, and the next verse, and all the way down to the end, verse 57. Look at it. To teach when it is unclean and when it is clean, this is the law of leprosy. Now, beloved, note this. That is a lot of ink. That is a lot of biblical text, a long narrative in the Bible that's never used, wait a minute, never used for 1,500 years? Yes. And it's with that in mind that I want you to picture for just a moment exactly what happened in Matthew chapter 8, where according to the command of Jesus, the only cured and cleansed Hebrew leper was told to go and show himself again to the priest and to offer for his cleansing, quote, what Moses commanded. So here's a man, and by the way, he's not in the region of Judea. He has to travel. This man has to go a long way, all the way to Jerusalem, all the way to the temple, because he's going to the high priest, and he has to show himself to that man and say, here I am. I am a cured and cleansed leper. I used to have leprosy. Tell me now what Moses said I'm supposed to do. And you know what that high priest would say? What? This ain't never happened. That high priest would have to go, hold on a second, let's go find that text. Let's clean off that text. The cleansing of the leper. Where's that? We may have to Google that. We've never had to use that law in all of our born days, nor our grandfather, nor our great-great-grandfather. And they would look at this man, and are you sure? In other words, the testimony that Jesus speaks of there in Matthew 8 and verse 4 is a testimony that would tell them as priests and scribes everything they needed to know about the person in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, this Jesus of Nazareth. You know something? A.W. Tozer once wrote something I've never forgotten, and I heard it many years ago as a young fellow. He said, what comes into our minds whenever we think about God is the most important thing about us. Let me say that again. What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. Well, guess what? The reason we have the Word of God today, the reason why God gave us His perfect revelation, is so that, for example, when we read what Jesus did and said in one of His very first miracles, you realize this is the first miracle in the Gospel of Mark. In fact, it's recorded in Mark chapter 1. It's given early in the first book of the New Testament. And when we read and we learn of the person and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, then what comes into our minds when we think about God is the truth. I've noticed in counseling that when people get their ideas and their thoughts about God from the Word of Truth, then He is bigger than all of the haters and enemies and liars in this world, and thus these last days are not so overwhelming because God is God. But for those who get their ideas about God from the wells of deceit and darkness, they get their ideas about God from the internet or National Geographic or some high school biology teacher or the History Channel or Hollywood or Time Magazine or Nashville, projecting God onto the small screen of their minds, then there's doubt and there's fear and confusion and ultimately even bitterness. Because they face the reality of these days. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us? Well, there are three things I want you to notice this morning that tell us the truth about who God is. Three things in both of these amazing texts concerning the things and the testimony that Jesus pointed to in the healing of this leper. The first one I want you to consider, number one, is the misery of the leper. I want you to look again at Leviticus, would you? And in chapter 13, and again, this is the text and the various verses Jesus wanted them to turn to. Chapter 13, verse 2 says, when a man shall have a in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or one of the sons of the priests. And the priest shall look on the plague of the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and it goes on and on. I'm not going to belabor this point very much, because I think most of you here understand what leprosy meant. Leprosy is called Hansen's disease today, but in those days, it was a terminal condition, incurable, extremely painful, contagious, and fatal. We have preached more than once on the biblical use of leprosy as an illustration of sin. And it's interesting because, as we said, across almost all of the 59 verses in Leviticus chapter 13, we are given words that just describe in detail the symptoms of this condition. It starts out with the Lord speaking to Aaron and saying, when a man shall have a bright, a spot arising, if it be white, if it's deeper than the skin, not deeper, the hair be turned white, and on and on and on it goes. In fact, you know what my favorite verse is? Verse 41. And he that hath his hair fallen from the part of his head toward his face, he is forehead bald, yet he's clean. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse means more to me than Psalm 23. Amen. But seriously, think about this. In Matthew 8, when this man showed up, they had to examine him according to this detailed description of a leper's condition, meaning that these priests had living, visible testimony early in his ministry, Mark chapter 1, early of the healing power of Jesus Christ. Nobody had ever been cured and cleansed of leprosy before. And by the way, the priests, remember, the priests were the ones who had to diagnose the leprosy in the first place whenever a man got it. It's just they couldn't do anything about it. But they're the ones who had to diagnose it so everybody knew who the lepers were, and especially the pious folks, because they claimed it was always judgment from God. So imagine this. This leper walks in. The rottenness and the disease, it's gone. It is gone. Hold your place again, Matthew chapter 8. Look at it. Again, we're going to go back and forth because that's what Jesus wanted them to do. Matthew 8, verse 3 says, "And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." See that, folks? It was departed from his body immediately. This is a creative miracle of God. This man had baby's skin, soft and healthy, perfect, oil of Olay poster boy. You talk about a new man. And I remind you again that throughout Scripture, leprosy is a picture of sin. Isaiah 64:6, Psalm 53:3, Psalm 38 describes sin in terms of disease. How is leprosy like sin? Both humanly incurable. Both destroy the nerves and thus cause insensitivity. Both cause separation, thus leper colonies. Both destroy lives. Both exist in a body of death. In fact, do you realize that a leper essentially walked around in his burial clothes like a mourner, but going to his own funeral? We didn't read it, but in Leviticus 13:45, one of the first things a leper had to do was rend his clothes, which is what you do. It was a mark of death, a funeral. And that's why, if you'll notice, lepers ultimately had no identity. They were just lepers, as if they were never some mother's son, somebody's father, a brother, a farmer, a shepherd, a carpenter. He's just a leper, who in so many ways, beloved, is already considered dead by most of society. They were literally an open grave. You couldn't even touch them. This is the misery of leprosy, and this is the misery of sin. And again, by turning and looking at the things which Moses commanded in the law concerning lepers, these priests would read testimony of the fallen and the broken and the terminal condition and situation that this man was in, and that spiritually they themselves were all in. That's number one. The second thing I want you to consider and notice, number two, is the ministry of the law. Go back to Leviticus, would you please? Leviticus chapter 13. Verse 44 says, "He is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." Now, wait a minute. Listen, think about what Moses and the law wrote about the touching, the relationship that people would have with lepers. He says, dwelling outside the camp, always warning others not to come near. The leper had to cry out, unclean, because he was defiled, and as such, always to remain untouched. Now, this, of course, was wise in medical terms, but it was brutal and humiliating in personal terms. This man, in Matthew chapter 8, and I want you to turn back again to there. This man has not kissed his wife or hugged his kids or shaken a man's hand. He was untouchable according to the law. But notice what Matthew's gospel says in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 2. "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Jesus." First of all, he worshipped him. Secondly, he called him Lord. "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Verse 3, "And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him." Wow. The Lord Jesus moved with compassion. The Bible says he did something nobody would do. He put forth his hand and he touched him. Can you imagine what that one gesture must have meant to this poor leper? Nobody, not a family member, would touch him. Nobody could. You say, but Pastor, didn't the Lord Jesus then therefore break the law? How could Jesus be sinless if the law said you can't touch and reach out and touch him? And then by telling the leper to go down and tell those priests and high priests to give testimony, wouldn't they be reminded that this man, this Jesus, therefore broke the law? Maybe. Or they could be reminded of something else that Moses said in that text that Jesus wanted them to read, which is namely that with the offering of a he lamb, the leper was allowed to be touched by one person in all of Israel, the high priest. You'll notice in verse 2 that Jesus didn't go to the leper, but rather it says the leper came unto him. What exactly does the law of Moses say? Go back to Leviticus, would you? And look at verse 14. Verse 2 says this, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper." Go down to verse 13. "And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering." Verse 14. "And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot." And so it goes. Follow this. The high priest, beloved, could touch him if there was a lamb present, and if he had reason to believe that the leper was healed. And Hebrews 13 says that Jesus, our high priest, sanctifying the people with his own blood, suffered outside the camp. In other words, there was a lamb present. This was the high priest. His name is Jesus. The leper was healed and declared cleansed, so that by touching him, Jesus didn't break the law. He was fulfilling the law. He reached out, and in a very powerful and significant gesture, the Bible says that Jesus touched that leper's wounds. And of course, our Lord did not have to do that. Of course he didn't. Jesus didn't have to physically touch anybody or a leper's wounds to heal him, but he did do that. And you know something, not far from this scene, our Lord Jesus would come to his disciples and invite them to touch his wounds. Invite him to touch his wounds that were made and caused by man's leprosy, by man's sin. You've often heard it said, the only man-made things that will be in heaven are the wounds on Jesus' body. Many years ago, I saw a news clip that reminded me of an alligator attack back when I was in high school. Nearly took a little boy's life. This little boy was swimming in a lake behind his home, and his mother, looking out through the window, saw a gator coming close, and she ran outside. As any mother would, screaming and running as loud as she could, as fast as she could. But just as she got near the foot of that lake and greeted her boy's arms and grabbed him, the gator attacked the little boy's legs. But his mother would not let go. Nearly falling into the lake a couple times herself, she just tugged and pulled and refused. Overcoming all the fear and the terror and the danger, she refused to release her son. Finally, a farmer came by, neighbor, and hearing the screams, was able to repel the gator, and the boy was saved. And I remember that story later in the hospital. The boy nearly lost both of his legs, but he didn't. He was showing his wounds to the reporters. His legs were scarred, but they were still there. And the reporter said to him, he said, "Well, what are the bandages on your arms for?" And the boy said, "I have wounds on my arms from my mom's fingernails because she refused to let go." The next day, the picture in the paper did not show the boy's legs. It showed the bandages on his arms with the caption, "The wounds of love." Our Lord Jesus reached out and touched a leper. Significant because as a picture of sin, our Lord, the Son of God, came down and became sin for us. He hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Out of the ivory palaces into this world of woe. In other words, by touching our leprosy and refusing to let go, for all of eternity, the Lord Jesus will bear the wounds of that love. And we'll see it. A billion years into eternity, we'll still see the wounds that allowed us to be there. Which brings us to the third truth. The misery of the leper, the ministry of the law. Number three, I want you to notice the mercy of the Lord. Go back to Matthew 8, would you? We're almost finished. Verse 2 says this, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." By the way, when it came to leprosy, as any leper would know, you know, there are really two parts to being made whole according to Moses' law. First, you had to be cured, healed, and then you had to be cleansed and declared so. And it's a very significant demonstration of faith that this leper didn't say, if you can heal me, that'd be great. He didn't say that. He said, Lord, I know you can. If you will. If you will, then heal me. I know you can, but is it your will? And furthermore, he didn't just ask the Lord for healing, for a cure. He said, if thou wilt, look at it, canst thou make me clean? He wanted it all. He worshiped the Lord. So what happened? Verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. He was cleansed and he was cured. And then verse 4 says, Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man. In other words, he's not a modern day faith healer on television. See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. In other words, go straight to the priests, obey the law. Don't stop at Starbucks. Don't send out a tweet or an Instagram. Don't write a book and make a movie deal. Don't even go to your family yet first. Do what the law says as a testimony to what God has done and to who I am. You see, beloved, what was the Lord Jesus highlighting in those two long chapters about the law of the leper? He was reminding everyone that not one verse, not one word in that long passage had any direction on how to heal or cleanse a leper. The law did not give any instruction on how to deliver a leper, how to make him whole again. And I want to remind everybody in this room, every visitor here, the law cannot save you. If I can just be good enough, if I go to church, if I give money, if I get baptized, if I take the sacraments, the law, good works, never cleansed anyone of their sin. I'm going to read something in the law of the leper and then I'm going to close. It's in Leviticus 14. If you're fast, you can turn there, but I want you to listen to it if not. Here's just one little part. If you think that the Bible is not amazing and powerful and glorious, and maybe you read Leviticus and think, well, all those words don't have anything to do with me. Leviticus 14:4. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean. In other words, these couldn't be unclean birds. They're picturing something. And cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. What is it picturing, Pastor? Our Lord Jesus came down into an earthen vessel. He shed his blood. The power of that shed blood sets you free. The living bird was touched with the blood, redeems your soul. What we think when we think about God, Tozer said, is the most important thing about us. I'm not sure how true that is, but I know this. And I hope and pray this morning that what comes in our minds, when we think about Jesus, when we think about God, is that Jesus has proven his power and his deity. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing when he told that leper, the only one ever healed of leprosy, who was a child of Abraham, go and show yourself. He knew exactly what they would read in those verses. Jesus has proven his power and deity, and it has shown that God is God, that salvation is real, that his word is true, every word of it. So that when he says, good is new, it's true. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you're here this morning and you have any doubt about your eternal soul and where you will be forever, today is the day to realize that you're a sinner, that your sin is just like leprosy. It is incurable. There's nothing in this book, in the law of this book, that can take away that sin. But there is something in this book about the Lamb of God who gave his blood, who died for your sin, that if you will accept Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your Savior, then there is the miracle of cleansing of that sin, redemption and freedom. If you're saved here this morning, I hope you'll walk out of those doors. I hope all of us will. With a recognition and a faith and a boldness and a courage that can only come from the truth of God's word, that we are saved and saved for certain because he did all the work and that we have a great message. Father in heaven, I pray now you'll bless the invitation. We thank you for the miracle of your word and what the word shows us and teaches us about who you are. When we think about God, may we think the truth about you, what your word teaches and reveals about you, not some man-made concoction. And certainly this morning when we think about you, we think about salvation and grace and mercy and forgiveness and our own sinful condition that needs to be rescued. For these who have asked for prayer, perhaps some even open their heart to Jesus, I pray God help them. Help every believer here walk out of these doors with a boldness and a courage, a faith, perhaps more so than we had before. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.